Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, a candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Hey, I hope everybody's had a good holiday season, and we're back. It's January, and questions have come. Oh my goodness, have questions come about, can I tell when someone has mild cognitive impairment or the early stages of Alzheimer's? And, I like those questions because through December, I had a lot of shows about FTD, frontal temporal dementia. We talked a lot about Parkinson's disease. And it's kind of nice to circle back to my true love and wheelhouse, which is people with Alzheimer's type dementia. And so I thought, now's a good time to kind of talk about what people saw, the questions that they had, and see if I can answer a couple of my listeners' emails and calls. So here we go. Yes, you can kind of tell if you're observant and you're listening instead of talking, you're watching and observing instead of per se participating. So if you're looking for signs that someone has early stage Alzheimer's, here's what I would say. When they're beginning to forget words or names of people they know, movies they've always liked, and it's happening 6-8 times a day, not just random, one forgetful moment, and then it doesn't happen again for 3 or 4 days. Nope, that's ordinary loss of memory. And that just happens to come sometimes with age. So I wouldn't be too worried about that. What other signs? They stop learning new procedures, new processes. Becomes very difficult to have a conversation with them about something that's technical. Maybe even if you're having a hard time just getting a movie on and you have to have a couple of different remote controls and suddenly that person seems overwhelmed and maybe starts to cry. They go to purchase an item at a store and that process seems completely overwhelming. Things like that can be red flags that you can look for. Forgetting menus, not being able to find articles in the kitchen that they need, a pan, mixing blades, food in the refrigerator, even how to put a grocery list together, maybe trying to work the washing machine and suddenly there's a struggle. There's too much water in it or too much soap. Maybe they put two of those Tide Pods in instead of one. Things like that. Repeating themselves more than one time a day. Sometimes that can just be a sign of a person who is emotionally unstable, to be perfectly honest, but need validation. But if that person really seems to be repeating themselves as though they didn't say it the first time, that could be a serious red flag. How about calling a loved one several times a day? Or not being able to find their car in a parking lot. Now, that wouldn't be a big deal if you have a rental car or, it's Christmas time and everybody's in the parking lot of the great big mall in your town. But if they can't find their car on just any given day, say January 23rd of 2019, that could be a problem. So those are things that we're sort of looking at. Leaving their bills unpaid. If suddenly they're getting notices that nothing has been paid in a long time. Not cleaning their house. Not washing their clothes. A lot of laundry sitting around that's kind of stockpiled that it might take you a day and a half to do. Sometimes falling, losing their balance. It can happen when they're walking a dog. It can happen when they're just going up and down stairs. Things like that can be troublesome. So watch for those kinds of things. And also looking a little unsure in their face, just having a look of a question on their face at times, that could be a really big deal if that person always seemed very self-assured and very self-enlightened, and then suddenly they look pretty confused when they're asking a question, or sort of squint their eyes like they're not quite sure or distressed about asking those questions. How about getting lost on familiar roads? That happens often. If they're late coming home from work, not following a path when you're riding in the car with them that you've been on 1,000 times, and suddenly they pass the street they're supposed to turn on, or it's very different from just wanting to take a different route. They just genuinely, oh, wow, I missed that turn. And those are just the little signs that you can see when somebody's struggling. How about just they're acting differently? They don't seem to be as on top of their game. They're maybe forgetting to put certain spices in a dish. They're forgetting their favorite show is on. They were going to watch the Broncos at 2:00 and forgot the game completely, and then said, oh gosh, I thought this was Saturday. Or maybe they're more agitated than they would ordinarily be. Maybe they're clinging to you more often than they ordinarily would. And it seems uncomfortable. Every time you turn around, they're running into you. Those kinds of things can be a little bit unnerving, and it always gets family members and friends thinking, is something wrong? What's going on here? This person doesn't seem like they've always been. It feels like there's a new person in the house. They're a little clingy. They're a little forgetful. And oftentimes, we just compensate for that behavior. We just say, oh my goodness, well, maybe they were not focused. Maybe they didn't hear what you said. Maybe there was too much traffic on the road that made them miss that road they were supposed to turn on. All those kinds of things. And maybe even being a little more demanding, where they question you and where are you going? What are you doing? Why are you leaving? When are you coming back? Questions they would never have asked in the 20 years prior, and things like that. So, you know, these kinds of things can really be disheveling, unsettling. But if you are noticing these symptoms, I would say, or these characteristics of this person's behavior being strangely different than they've ever been, try to talk to them about it. Just set them down and say, listen, are you a little depressed? Are you lacking motivation? Do you feel disorganized? Have you lost interest in things you used to like to do? Can you tell me why? I've talked many times about use the tell me more theory. Tell me what's going on in your mind. What are you feeling when you miss that street? I'll give you a safe place to talk about this. I won't share it with the world. I won't tell everybody that you're struggling this way. But if you need someone to listen to you and really help you through this, I'm here. Don't make it accusing. Don't make it judgmental. Really try to be as kind and compassionate as you can be, because it's a scary place to be when you think your memory is failing, when you are having cognitive impairment, your thought process isn't working, and that's a place no one wants to go. And so, folks, please, if you think you have a loved one that is experiencing this, rather than talk to other family members about it and start whispering about it, which is where the fearfulness comes in the person with the disease, talk to them. Have a conversation with them. Just sit down and say, I'm here for you. I love you. I want to talk to you. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more of this conversation. Hey, friends. I'm excited to tell you about Pine Grove Crossing Assisted Living and Memory Care in Parker, Colorado. They set the bar high for person-centered care. They're locally owned, and they focus on exceeding their residents' expectations while providing excellent dining, housekeeping, and transportation services. Their care team with licensed nurses are available 16 hours per day, 7 days a week, to ensure clinical needs are addressed as soon as possible. Check them out at pinegrovecrossing.com or 303-996-8000 and see how care goes into everything they do.
It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
All right, we're back. And today I'm trying to really think about some questions that I received over the holidays. It's always my biggest time of phone calls and emails and letters that I get. And people want to know, how can we know when somebody has early stage memory loss in the very, very early stages? As a matter of fact, I was just at a company yesterday that provides home care, and the nurse there was asking me, how do you can't possibly know when someone is struggling in the early stages? And I said, oh, absolutely you can. It shows itself in forms that we choose to ignore, or we choose to not necessarily see for what they are. And I think if we just try to open our mind, open our thoughts, and really say, is this person a little bit different than they used to be? Why are they getting all upset about something at work that seems so trivial? Why are they behaving like I'm the only person on the planet that they can be with? Or why are they getting so uptight about going to public situations when they used to like going out in public? All these things are signs. Whether you want to recognize them or not is kind of up to you. But I think you can. So when I've talked to people that have this disease and I ask them to tell me what it's like, this is what they've said. It just drives me crazy. That's about it. I mean, everything takes 10 times longer now. I never feel sure of myself. I hear family members talking about me, so I don't want to share information with them because it's going to stamp a deficiency label on my forehead when I've been very loving and kind and generous and helpful to people my entire life. And all of a sudden, I'm afraid they're going to abandon me if they know that maybe I'm not thinking clearly or I'm not working as well as I used to in all aspects of my life. So what? I've left water running. Big deal. Hasn't everybody done that at one time or another? I burned something on the stove. I got busy. The phone rang. Why is everybody getting upset? These are some of those signs that you can look for. Do people get angry when they have this disease? Yes. Wouldn't you? You know, wouldn't you be upset about maybe not being able to remember when you're supposed to pick up your grandkids at school? You're taking a class and suddenly nothing's coming to you. Your boss catches you in the hallway and says, hey, by the way, that project you wanted to talk to me about a couple of months ago, bring it in. I've got time this morning at 10 o'clock. And you're looking at your coworkers going, what the heck is he talking about? Oh, my gosh. I had a guy one time when I was at a aerospace company, I'll just say it that way, and he came up to me as I had a booth on this health and wellness day, and he told me that was the exact scenario that happened to him. His boss came up and was talking to him about a project that he had been wanting to work on for a long time, and when his boss asked him about it, he went blank. He said, I had no idea what he's talking about. What should I do? And I said, you know, you're in a little bit of a predicament here because you're in the aerospace field. If you go and tell your bosses that you're not running on all cylinders, that you're having some issues, you might not only get, you know, kicked back to a desk position, but you might lose your job. And I understand why that can be scary. On the other hand, if somebody's had a job for a long time at maybe a store or a hospital or volunteer work, and they go to their bosses and say, hey, I'm not thinking as sharply as I used to. I don't know if anything's wrong. I just feel like I'm not on my game sometimes. It's happening more regularly than it used to, but I'd really like to stay here. I'll let you know when I'm having problems. I've seen bosses that have allowed someone to stay at work to the point where they're at mid-stage. So, you know, you really have to weigh it for yourself when you're talking to your bosses, when you're talking to family members. How are they going to react? Are they going to be positive with you? Are they going to be judgmental? Are they going to be afraid? And the best thing I can tell you is get in a support group. Go and talk to other people that are going through what you're going through. But if those support groups don't work for you, if they're sad, if they're kind of downtrodden, if people are crying and just complaining all the time about their situation, get out of that one and try a new one. I think it's important to find what fits for you. Maybe you need one for younger people. This is not an old person's disease. Maybe you need a support group that has people in it that are 30, 40, 50 years old. I've talked about it at length that this is not an old person's disease. I have to say it one more time. There are a lot of people. Oh my gosh, I was flooded with calls over the holidays. And I'll bet you at least 25% of my phone calls came from people under the age of 50. That blew my mind. One woman called me and told me that she has 5 kids and they are 20 years old to 34 years old, and all 5 have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. That, I have to tell you, was probably the most distressing call I've had in over 20 years. My heart just broke for that lady, and honestly, there's not much I can say to her besides empathize and try to help her as much as I can with the symptoms and the behaviors and reactions that they have, and trying to tell her to just maintain her easygoing way and try not to get too stressed out, because the more stressed out she is, the more stressed out they will be. And she was seeing some pretty serious, I think, reactions to her angst and energy, and her kids were scared out of their minds. And they all happened to go at the same time to get tested, because all of them were talking to each other saying, I'm having some problems. And the truth of the matter is, when people get the disease that early in their life, their mortality is limited. Let me just put it that way. They literally have about 1 to 2 years of good life left, if that, between the ages of 20 and 30. And the people that were between the ages of 40 and 50, they might have 4 to 6 years of good cognition and clear thinking before they literally lose their motor skills and lose their memory completely and have complete cognitive impairment. And it's a sad situation. So, you know, I've talked about it before on the show. We have got to try to use that muscle that is our brain and maintain our memory as long as we can, and try to be as strong as we possibly can in every way in terms of retention and just understanding what we're taught and learning new things, read books, take a class, learn to play the piano. I don't care what you do, ride a bike 25 miles, but do something. I don't want to get calls like that on a regular basis. It's disturbing on a lot of levels. So anyway, folks, this is deep conversations. But when we come back after our break, I want to talk about, how do we talk to a doctor about it? How do we bring it up to our loved one? Again, what are some easy ways that we can broach this subject without being judgmental, without being scared out of our minds? Easier said than done, but I think we can do it, and we're going to do it together. And remember, you can always go to my website, summitresiliencetraining.com. I have a lot of bundles of information on there for you on ways to deal with all these topics today. Okay, so let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation about recognizing and talking about early stage Alzheimer's.
Living and working with Alzheimer's and other dementias can often be challenging. Summit Resilience Training provides education utilizing non-medical approaches for those who work with our friends affected by dementia. Believing families still need one-on-one assistance, we provide classes which help them understand the diseases affecting their loved ones, offering strategies and techniques for success with activities of daily living and working with confusing behaviors. We offer in-home assessments to clarify symptoms of dementia diseases and help families work together to find moments of joy while living with memory loss and impairment. Education programs instilling person-centered care philosophies are offered for professional caregivers working in communities and homes, which can be customized for their staff. Training is also available for first responders, such as law enforcement, fire, and EMT personnel. We are passionate that people with dementias such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and others are approached with compassion and understanding, and those who work with them have all the tools they need for success. Call us at Summit Resilience Training, 303-420-6988, to schedule a class or in-home assessment. Visit our website at summitresiliencetraining.com for more information.
It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, we're back. So I really think one of the good things you can do is make a record for yourself about yourself so that your family members can help you as you progress through these diseases. And although you may not want to face it right now, even if you do like a video diary or something like that, like President Bush did, you know, those kind of things can be super helpful 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 20 years from now, whatever it is. So write things down. Who is your physician? Who is your closest relative? What's your address, in case you wonder? What medications are you on? What allergies do you have? I'm good with remembering names. I'm not so good with remembering names in my everyday life before I ever had a diagnosis. What are my favorite games? Are you a gamer? Are you doing games online? Are you a person that likes to play Scrabble or Battleship with your grandkids or your kids or whatever it is? What are your favorite foods? When do you like to bathe? How do you like to bathe? Are you a shower person in the morning? Are you a bath person at night? Are you a person that goes out and gets in the hot tub on a regular basis? How do you get the hot tub ready? Tell somebody in case that's something you really enjoy and they have to go out and add chemicals or whatever they have to do to make sure that you can still enjoy it if a time comes when you can't do that anymore for yourself. Those are important. So what are your favorite snacks? What foods don't you like? What do you like? Do you like to put foods in a freezer? My husband laughs at me that I don't like to freeze food. I think that's a funny thing. I just don't. First of all, I forget that it's in there and I go to the store and buy other stuff. And then by the time I get it out, it has freezer burn. But anyway, and then I'd have nothing wrong with me. At least I don't think I do. Anyway, so what are your favorite beverages? What are your favorite TV shows? I like This Is Us. I like Carlos Santana. I like jazz music. I like Led Zeppelin. Tell people what you like, what you enjoy. Do you record certain shows? Is there a certain morning show you like? Is there a certain afternoon show you like? If you do all this in the early stages of your seeming symptoms and before you ever even tell anybody you're having these problems, the chances of them being able to utilize this information on your behalf in a great way and know who you are when you're not yourself anymore is huge. Your history is everything. And we go back in time. We go from childhood learning to adolescent learning to adult learning. And then when you get Alzheimer's, when you have that diagnosis, over the course of your disease, you will go backwards. You'll go back to talking about jobs you had when you were a kid. People lose their cognition to a point where they seem almost childlike or teenagerish-like. And those types of things that they enjoyed are important. So when they say, I've got to go and catch the train to go to the coal mine or catch a ride, my ride's going to leave in a little bit, and you're sitting there wondering why they're talking about that. They haven't worked in the coal mine for 20 years. You'll know why they're doing it, okay? How about things you struggled with when you didn't have any impairment? Operating the TV remotes, things like that can be a big deal. Maybe recording a show. Maybe taking the shows off once you've watched them. How about your music players? Were you a person that tuned your piano on a regular basis or called somebody to tune your piano? Write those things down, because if you don't, you're going to lose it. And it's really important that you write down the people that agitate you, the people that you like, the things that make you laugh. I love the comedy channel on this particular station, Easy 1430. I listen to that all the time. I just like to laugh. I like things that make me just roar from deep in my stomach, you know? And I want somebody to know that those are the things I like. I would rather have music on than the TV. jot these things down. That's actually me. I tell you what, if I was to make my own list, some of those would be, I'm a huge Bears fan. I love my Bears. I was born and raised a Bears fan because the NFL started in my hometown. I've lived here in Denver for 34 years. I love the Broncos too. Luckily, they're not in the same conference, so I don't have to worry about them playing unless they play in the Super Bowl. But those are things that if you set me in front of a TV on a Sunday afternoon or take me to Buffalo Wild Wings to watch the Bears games because I can't get them on my TV, I'll be a very happy camper by the time I get to mid-stage knowing that somebody knew that was important to me. And by the way, I like the wings with a whole thing of nachos and don't put chicken on it. Important stuff, right? A cold beer will suit me any day. Oh my God. So just because you get this disease doesn't mean you're dead. It doesn't mean you're not viable anymore. So you can take control of this to a certain degree. Be in charge of writing your video diary. Write information down in some kind of a journal. Log your information about who you are and who you were growing up and the things that are important to you, because I promise you there's going to be a time, unfortunately, when you won't remember those things. And if people don't know, you're going to struggle with this disease instead of thriving with it. Okay, there it is. I hope that that's helped a little bit today. Again, a reminder, you can listen to my podcast by going on Easy 1430. Scroll down to the shows and weekend programming. You'll see my show there. You can go back to ones I've had from a couple years past and listen to any strategy shows or doctors that I've talked to, different resources that I've offered. It's all there for you. Also, go on my website, summitresiliencetraining.com. Sign up for my newsletter that I send out every month, and I will help you in any way I can. You can call my office, 303-420-6988, or email me at jill@summitresiliencetraining.com. I love y'all out there in Caregiver Nation. And by the way, my podcasts are growing like crazy. So those of you that are in other countries and listening, today I topped 22 countries and 34 states, and I'm really happy about that. I love you all in Caregiver Nation. My friends with diagnosis, don't panic. You can always call me. I'll talk to you. And for goodness sake, find a safe person. Find a safe zone where you can go and talk to someone without judgment if you think you're having problems, and swear them to secrecy until you are ready to talk about it, okay? All these things will help you in the long run. And if you don't do anything, then I don't know what to tell you. I mean, really, I think you need to be proactive. And if you don't want to be proactive, you don't want to be enlightened, you don't want to share information with your family, then you're going to have nothing but a tough time. And I don't want that for any of you. Happy New Year. I'll have more shows with strategies and information for you. So keep listening. And I will always be here for you, folks. Okay? Have a terrific day. And again, I hope everybody has a fabulous new year.
You've been listening to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz. Visit her website at summitresiliencetraining.com to learn more. And join us next week as we learn more about dementia, Alzheimer's, and overcoming obstacles with a positive outcome. See you next time.